By the way, if you wait for 2 years before you remarry, your chances of the marriage lasting grows to 50%, which is equal to those who have never been married. Does that make sense? So if you marry, before 2 years after you've been divorced, it's more likely, your percentage of divorce increases to above 50%. Does that make sense? But if you can wait that 2 years before marriage, for some reason, it's more likely that the marriage will last than if you don't. Well, let's begin with families with single parents. I have to tell you, I don't understand how single parents do it. You know, whenever, we haven't experienced this yet here, but when Jamie was, whenever she had sickness in her family, when we were in O'Fallon or at being a high school vocal music teacher, there was times that she was gone with, you know, for conferences and such, and we had three boys, right? I mean, this is temporary, folks, and it totally messed my life up. I mean, you got to fix lunches for the boys, or at least make sure they have lunch money, right? You have to, you know, if an emergency came up in the church and I couldn't get childcare, what would I do? I mean, these are things I don't normally have to think about, right? If, you know, I mean, simple things like going to get Paul from school, and whenever the boys were younger, waking them up for their naps, putting them in the van and the car seats, and getting to school in time to pick up Paul so he's not standing there all by himself. Stuff that you don't, that I haven't had to think about a lot because Jamie and I work together on all these types of things. But you know, whenever you're a single parent, and that's temporary, it just was totally messing my life up because of all the things, the nooks and crannies that someone else isn't there filling in, right? I have much empathy for parents, single parents, who that is more permanent. You understand what I'm saying? Where that's a more of a permanent basis for their family lifestyle. I really don't see, in today's society at least, how it happens, how you can do that. Well, Proverbs 24, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Here's some ways to create a healthy family life for a single parent. First thing, grieve in order to heal. Grieve in order to heal. Grieving is age dependent. Children don't have the same capacity as adults in this area. You've got to be very patient with them and let love reign at all times. So grieve in order to heal. I believe that's your first blank in your questionnaire, in your sermon outline there if you're interested. Develop new traditions as a family. Christmas, birthdays, etc. Think about all the changes that are in a life of yourself, let alone your children. Develop new traditions as a family. Make use of available resources, pastor, teachers, bookstores. If you notice up here on the altar, there are some books that I've been using for this series. You are already been introduced to Protecting Your Children in an X-Rated World and Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World. And today I used, out of all the books, I primarily used Becoming Family for Blended Families, Going It Alone for single parents, and I also put a little bit of Dobson's Bringing Up Boys. Of course, you know, that's kind of a personal thing for me, I guess, since I have three of them. So make use of available resources in that. Journal your feelings to work through them. Now, this may seem counter to what I just said about the time availability to a single parent, but, you know, if you can set aside a few moments a week to write down your honest feelings about, well, how you feel. I mean, put it in a place where no one else reads it but you, and you can write down your honest, heartfelt feelings. Use your memory to build. I can't talk today. I think I'm from Oklahoma. Build. Use your memory to build hopeful future. Use your memory to build a hopeful future. Scrapbook. Find a life verse that will support you. And until that life verse kind of runs its course, use it in your life. Repeat it often. And then find another one when it has run its course, and repeat it often in your life and your day-to-day work. Reach out to others in need. You know, in your family's pain, extend yourself to others who are hurting and needy. You know, that's one thing I've found. A lot of times we think our problems are so bad. But when we take a moment to reach out to other people, many times we find that we have it pretty good, all in all. It may be hard for us right now, but boy, when we reach out to those who are in need, we find out that sometimes, our need isn't quite as big as we thought it was. And so it's always helpful to put our life in perspective of what other people are going through. Use hands-on activities to encourage healing. Buy a pet. Create a new hobby that you can do yourself or with your kids. Be open to the helpful input of others. Have you ever noticed that whenever you're hurting, sometimes you leave the very support group that you have built around yourself? I know when that happened to me, all my support group was up here. This is before we were married. All my support group was up in Kansas City. I pulled up roots and moved to Miami, Oklahoma, where I knew no one or nothing. When I needed my support group the most, I moved away from it. Maybe that's just Eric, but I doubt it is. I've seen it in many other people. So be open to helpful input of others. Disregard the perfect family myth. Need I say more?